Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 8. This perek is a continuation of the last perek. In the last perek, Yisrael and Aram, under the rule of Ritzin and Pekach, united to attack Yerushalayim. Yeshayahu tries to prove that Achaz can rely on Hashem. His sign for the validity of the Nevuah is the birth of a son, Emmanuel. However, Achaz does not believe in Hashem, and so Asher will now destroy much of Yehuda. The Nevuah in this perek will not occur during the time of Achaz, but will occur during the time of his son, Chizkiyahu, who is a tzaddik. As with many of the Nevuahs of Yeshayahu, there is a debate as to what exactly the Nevuahs are referring to because the language is vague and can be interpreted in multiple ways. I will explain the perek according to one approach, but there are many others. Hashem commands Yeshayahu to perform an action to reinforce the second part of the Nevuah in the last perek that Asher would attack. The action strengthens the Nevuah, which is a common technique throughout the Nevi'im. Yeshayahu should write on a large scroll with a regular stylus only four words, L'maher shalal chash baz, to hasten loot to speed the spoils. The double phrase means that the land would first be conquered by Asher and then would be decimated by Babel. The Abarbanel says that the large scroll with few words signifies that the vast expanse of the land of the northern kingdom would soon be empty of inhabitants. The Mamloes adds that exiling a kingdom seems like it's hard, but it's easy for Hashem, just as it was easy for Yeshayahu to write the four words on the scroll. Yeshayahu is also commanded to take two Nevi'im, Uriah HaKohen and Zechariahu ben Yeverechiyahu, as witnesses. Chazal say that these two Nevi'im do not live at the same time as Yeshayahu. Uriah will live during the time of Yehoiakim, an evil king, son of Yoshiyahu, and he will foresee the destruction. Zechariahu lives at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash and has many positive nevuos about Mashiach. Just as Uriah's negative nevuos will come true, so will the positive nevuos come true. The goal of all of these nevuos is to help Bnei Yisrael do tshuva and rebuild. After Yeshayahu creates a scroll, Yeshayahu's wife conceives and has a son. Hashem tells him to call his son Maher Shalal Chash Baz, which means to quickly loot and pillage. The birth of Yeshayahu's son is a sign which strengthens the Nevuah about Yisrael's and Aram's defeat, which will occur during the reign of Hoshea ben Ela by a new ruler of Asher named Shalmaneser. Before this child can say mommy and daddy, Asher will loot Damesek and Shomron. The perek now turns to the internal politics rocking Yehuda. Achaz has already given his treasury to Tiglath-Pileser. Chizkiyahu is different than his father. He focuses on spirituality to merit salvation and demands that the people learn Torah. Chizkiyahu himself lived this way and lived a frugal lifestyle focused on spirituality. Yehuda seems to many of its people to be pathetic when compared to all the other powerful kingdoms in the region. Hashem describes the nation's attitude, Pasuk 6. Yan ki ma'as ha'am hazeh es mei hashiloach. Since there are people in the nation who are rejecting the mei hashiloach. The mei hashiloach is a spring which is a symbol of the house of David. All the kings descended from David were all anointed by this water source. The people were bothered by the fact that the water, ha'holchim la'at, are calm and move slowly. The people would rather the drama and excitement of the powerful kingdoms of Ritzin and Pekach rather than the simple life of Chizkiyahu. Hashem will punish Yehuda for seeking out drama. He will bring the mighty nation Asher, represented in Pasuk 7, as Mei Hanahar Ha'atzumim V'harabim, a river that is strong and mighty. This river will flood the land with noisy floodwaters, which represents the Assyrian soldiers who sweep through the land, destroying it. Pasuk 8, V'chalaf B'Yehuda Shataf V'avar Ad Savar Yagia. Asher will sweep through Yehuda like a flooding river that overflows the banks as it passes until it reaches the neck. And Yeshayahu sees Asher setting out to conquer all the cities until it is as if Yehuda is about to drown with the water reaching its proverbial neck. Yeshayahu sees all the destruction and ends the pasuk with a cry of prayer and hope. Immanuel, Hashem is with us. Yehuda will not be conquered in its entirety. Instead, this powerful, indestructible foreign army will be destroyed. Yeshayahu turns to address Sennacherib's army. He says that at first, Asher will conquer many nations. They will be famous for their savagery and power. But in the end, despite their victories in battle and experience, they will be broken into many pieces. This will occur when they besiege the city of Yerushalayim. Sancheriv was confident about his battle plans, and yet in one night, his whole army died, and only he and a few others survived. Yeshayahu continues to address those arrogant armies of Sancheriv. They have so many plans and so much certainty, but that means nothing. Pasuk 10. Utsu Eitza Visufar. Make big plans, it will come to nothing. Dabru Davar Vilayakum. Talk, 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 it's not going to stand. How can their plans be thwarted if they are the most powerful soldiers in the world and Yehuda is weak and vulnerable? Ki imanu kel, for Hashem is with us. When I read these psukim, the words seem to speak to our own time when our land has again been flooded with evil. We remind ourselves that always, that no matter what everyone else plans, ki imanu kel, Hashem is with us. There were further political controversies in Yehuda at this time. Sancheriv, king of Ashur, conquered much of the Middle East and set his sights on Yerushalayim. Chizkiyahu recognized that he was powerless. He demanded that every man, woman, and child in Israel study Torah and asked Yeshayahu to pray on their behalf. A group led by a man named Shevna did not like this approach and wanted Chizkiyahu to surrender. They went so far as to send secret messages to Sancheriv telling him they wanted to join Ashur, but Chizkiyahu wouldn't let them out to join him. Hashem gives an intense nevuah to Yeshayahu about Shevna and his group. It is as if Yeshayahu is being, Pasuk 11, Kecheskas Hayad V'Yesreni, held back with a strong hand, which is admonishing me. According to the Radak, Hashem is holding Yeshayahu back from joining the majority of the people who want to rebel against Chizkiyahu. There is a principle in halacha that halachic debates are decided by majority vote. It would be logical for Yeshayahu to join the mainstream opinion, especially since Shevna and many of his followers were scholars. However, this principle only applies when the people are trustworthy. Shevna was corrupt and motivated by a desire for power. They do not get a vote in this decision, according to halacha. Hashem continues to reinforce this message to Yeshayahu, Pasuk 13. Lo somrun kesher l'chol asher yomar ha'am hazeh kesher. Do not call what this nation calls a group, meaning what they say is not reality. Their unity in this cause is actually division. While the nation may fear Sancheriv, lo siro v'lo sa'aritzu. Do not fear or think it is dreadful. Do not give their invalid opinion any weight. Instead, Chizkiyahu should base his decision on what is right in the eyes of Hashem. That should be the only factor driving his decision. Only Hashem, Hashem Tzvakos, the one who controls all the powers, is the one who, Pasuk 13, Oso taktishu v'hu morachem v'hu maritzachem. You should make Hashem holy. Let him be your fear and your dread. Choosing which group to follow has long-term consequences. The group that listens to Hashem will be protected. Those who don't will be hurt. For those who listen to Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash will be, Pasuk 14, the Mikdash, a sanctuary, a place of safety and security. For Shevna's group, it will be a stumbling block and cause them harm. Shevna planned to overthrow Malchus Beis David, whose son Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. This Beis HaMikdash will not protect them. Instead, Shevna's group will stumble on those exact stones that are serving as a refuge for Chizkiyahu's camp. Shevna's group thought they could escape the conquest of other nations by allying themselves with Sancheriv. Instead, their betrayal will lead to their destruction. Pasuk 15 uses five verbs to describe the downfall of Shevna and those like him. The Me'am Loeid says that this parallels five reasons why people don't feel they need to trust in Hashem. They trust in their own efforts and their physical strength, their intelligence, their wealth, or in other people. All these factors are not reliable, and only Hashem can be depended on. The parak continues with that the message of this nevuah should be infused into the mind of the students of Yeshayahu, so that they have a guiding life philosophy. They should look at these two groups, one which was more popular and chose their own path, and the other that was unpopular and followed Hashem, and see what were the results. They should make decisions based on what Hashem wants. They should say to themselves, Pasuk 17, V'chikisi la'Hashem ha'mastir panav mi'beis Yaakov v'kivesi lo, and I will wait for Hashem who hides his face from the house of Yaakov, even though I don't understand what's going on, I don't understand how this will work out, and I will wait for him. In times of trouble, when things look like those who are not listening to Hashem are more successful, we should wait for Hashem, have bitachon, and know that Hashem will save the righteous in the end. For the next five psukim, Yeshayahu now moves away from the internal politics of Yehuda and the important lessons to be learned from it, and transitions back to discussing Ashur and the exile of the 10 tribes. Yeshayahu reminds us of the signs of the scroll and his children's special names, which attest to the fact that Pekach will be punished like the name of one son, and Yehuda will be saved like the name of the other son. The next four psukim focus on sins that marred the 10 tribes before they were destroyed. Rashi says that the first two psukim were actually written by Be'eri, the father of the Navi Hoshea from the northern kingdom. Only two psukim of his nevuah were Hutzrachu L'doros, relevant to the generations. There are no books in Navi that are only two psukim long, so those two psukim were inserted here where they relate to Yeshayahu's nevuah. Rav Schwab points out that Yeshayahu was a noble, and so the sins described in these two psukim would not have occurred in his circles. The 10 tribes would seek out sorcerers, necromancers, to help them speak to the dead to predict the future. The participants gave the necromancers 5-star reviews and would encourage others to use their services. Be'eri prepares the people with an answer to the strong influencer's pitch. They should question the logic of the recommendation. Pasuk 19. Hallo am el elokav yadrosh? Shouldn't people seek their own God? Why should they use a foreign method when a local one would work? In addition, the results are not successful. All these foreign gods they speak to are dead. Why should living people go to them? If this logic is not enough, the Navi continues by swearing, Pasuk 20, Lesora ulis uda, by the Torah and the testimony, that the marketing geniuses are saying worthless ideas which can't compare to the strength of the belief in Hashem. Their ideas, ein lo shachar, will never see the light of day. The parak transitions back to the words of Yeshayahu, who warns Yehuda against adapting the practices of the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes end up, Pasuk 21, nikshe v'ra'ev, beaten and famished. They will end up cursing their leaders in idolatry, of which they were so proud, it is as they have not helped them at all. Yisrael will abandon their idols and will look for allies, but there will be no one to help them. Pasuk 22, v'neid tsara v'chashecha me'uf suka. Behold, it will be distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and outspread thick darkness. In contrast to the exhaustion of Yisrael, the invading army, Pasuk 23, for there is no weariness to the nation that is set against her. This nation won't get tired. It will attack one time, two times, three times. First it will strike the lands of Yisachar and Zebulun in the fourth year of Achaz. Then, in the 12th year, it will exile Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh, living in Transjordan. Finally, the last, V'acharon Hechbid, the last one will be the hardest, when all of the remaining 10 tribes will be exiled. This parak dealt with many themes, all related to the political upheaval going on in the region at the time. Yeshayahu tells the people that Yisrael and Aram will be defeated. Chizkiyahu should ignore those in Yehuda who do not believe him. The invading army of Asher will conquer a lot of territory, but will then be stopped as Hashem will not let them destroy Yerushalayim. Yeshayahu used this defeat to teach a universal lesson that one should believe in a small number of people who believe in Hashem over large groups of people who do not. The parak concludes with a nevuah against the 10 tribes who have worshipped the worst sorcerers and the consequences of their foolish choices. There is a lesson that we can learn from this parak. Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu were being drowned out by the loud and confident majority. They needed Hashem to reassure them that their opinion and decisions were the most appropriate ones. In our lives, we can also be surrounded by groups and people expressing loud opinions. It is important to remember that the loudest in voice and the greatest in number does not determine truth. Only Hashem in His Torah defines what is true. In addition, charisma should not be a factor in our following a leader. The only factor that should guide our decisions is this what Hashem wants? Is this what the Torah demands? All other external issues are irrelevant. Even if a politician says something, utsu etza v'sufar, he has advice, it will amount to nothing. A celebrity talks, davru davar v'lo yakom, let him talk, it won't happen, ki manukel, because Hashem is with us. When we think that only the fear of Hashem is our priority, we will know how to act and what to do in all situations. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.